awesome. And thank you, Pastor Rob, for this opportunity to share the word with you guys. It's just a privilege and an honor to do that. I want to be faithful to the word, thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to start in Acts 16. Last week, Pastor Rob kind of went into the beginning of Acts 16 at the end of his message. So we're going to go through some of those same verses today and go into a couple of different things that weren't mentioned last week. One is Paul's relationship with Timothy, and the other thing is more has to do with Timothy's spiritual heritage. So I just want to start out with some prayer. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this moment. Thank you that you are here. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd increase your presence here, increase the manifestation of your presence. And I pray that your word would run through our hearts, God. God, your word is living and active, powerful beyond measure. It's always working. And so I just pray that your word would go through us today. God, and I submit myself to you, to your lordship. Let my word be yours today. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's just start at Acts 16, starting with verse 1. I'm going to read that. So Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them the decisions that have been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. So let's look at Paul's relationship with Timothy really fast. So this is like an older, more mature man of God, Paul, taking this younger man, Timothy, under his wing, starting like a mentoring relationship, like, I want to take you with me where I'm going. I'm going on these journeys. I want you to be with me. And Timothy at this point is probably late teens, early 20s. And it's interesting, like through this mentoring relationship, there's so much time spent with Paul and his message and all those things that Timothy actually became Paul's representative to churches. Look at 1 Corinthians 4:17 says, this is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in every church. So that mentoring relationship actually ended up with Timothy, here's my representative. He'll show you my ways. And this is the ways of Jesus, really. And eventually, Timothy became a spiritual leader in Ephesus. And the pastoral epistles of 1 and 2 Timothy actually were written by Paul to Timothy to provide him guidance and support in all those different things that he was doing in his ministry. So the best verse, I would say, for this type of dynamic that's happening with Paul and Timothy is 1 Corinthians 11:1, where Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. The ESV says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And just looking at that verse, it seems like you could kind of just do a wholesale, like, let's just copy Paul. It's everything he does, you know, his habits, everything. And it's actually not like that. It's actually a little more nuanced than that. The meaning is a little more nuanced. And it's more has to do with to the extent that Paul is following Christ, like in those ways, emulate those things. So recognize the Christ-like qualities in that leader and emulate those things. Not just all his habits, what time he goes to bed, when he wakes up, all that stuff. You know, it's more like, let's look at Christ-like qualities and emulate those things. So this is something that looks like Jesus, right? Have you known anybody that when they pray, like it just seems like they're praying with the Spirit, you know, where the Bible says to pray in the Spirit, right? You're just sensing that the Spirit is on what they're praying. You know, that's a Christ-like quality. Think about somebody, maybe you knew somebody that's like just has this peace. You know, they may be going through this difficult storm, but like there's this peace from the Lord that's just like, how do you have that peace? Well, that's a Christ-like quality. Think about like, Anna actually knows this guy who's in the Nazarene church, this older man, and he just had this incredible love. Like, it was just like, when you're with him, it was just like, wow, the love of God is coming right out through you to me. And it's a character, the Christ-like quality. Think about somebody who has miracles or healing in their ministry. Like, that's also, Jesus performed many miracles. That's a Christ-like quality. So as we see, the ultimate example is Jesus, right? Follow me as I follow Christ. So the disciples had a lot of time immersed in Jesus' teaching, in his ways. He's the perfect example. You could follow and emulate everything he does, right? So, and they spent so much time with him that they were actually able to replicate his ministry. You know, when they were sent out, the 72 were sent out, they replicated the ministry that Jesus was doing. And in Acts 4, which was preached a while ago, this is when Peter and John, this is after Jesus had been resurrected, they were before the rulers, the elders, the scribes. They're on trial for preaching in the name of Jesus. They don't like that. They want him to stop. But they are replicating the ministry of Jesus. Look what it says here in verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. So it wasn't their great education. You know, it wasn't their social status. Okay, you're the son of this person and therefore you have this clout, right? It was because they had been with Jesus. So it's the influence of Jesus on them that allowed them to speak boldly in his name. It was his influence and example to perform miracles in his name. And they were not afraid to confront authority that directly opposed Jesus because of the boldness of Jesus was coming out through them. So if we take that idea, we move back to Timothy and Paul. Like they get into actually what's really touching, like a father-son dynamic. It's not a professional relationship. It's more like, here's my father, here's my son. 1 Timothy 1 verse 2 says it. Listen to how Paul addresses Timothy. He says to Timothy, my true son, in the faith, my true son in the faith. So as a son would, as they're traveling, a son is going to learn from their father. Paul prayed without ceasing, right? The Bible talks about that. Well, Timothy had view right into that. What did that look like? How did Paul make decisions? How was he led by the Spirit? How did he decide where to go next? Like Timothy's observing everything spiritual father is doing. Look at his spiritual disciplines. Like, what were Paul's spiritual disciplines? Like, what did he do when he got up in the morning? Did he pray morning? You know, or he prayed when he went to bed? How did he interact with people? How did he minister to people? How did he show the love of God to people? How did he pray for people? How did he handle it when there were insults and persecution thrown his way? So Timothy's gleaning all these things from Paul as that influence. So if we think of that word influence, it could be defined as the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something, often in an indirect or intangible way. So it's like having an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something, often in an indirect or intangible way. So types of influence, you could have a very distinct discipleship mentoring relationship with Paul and Timothy. Like they're literally, Timothy is following Paul and they're together and he's really mentoring him in the faith. We could also have a less formal type example, like an observation, like somebody is observing this person, right? Like the power of example. I don't know, by show of hands, has anybody been maybe profoundly influenced by somebody in your life at some point, but that person that influenced you had no clue? Anybody? Right? A lot of hands, yeah? So I have this story about this man named Dwayne. Ooh. And this was when I was a teen in a church. We were at a small conservative church. This man, Dwayne, and his family were there. He had small kids, and he just in music. And he just had this, he kind of just lit up, like whenever he did it. He had this passionate worship that was just tangible, and it made a huge impact on my life. And they actually taught the teens too. And, you know, if he asked me, it's interesting, if he asked me, hey, what'd you think about the teaching today? I'd be like, it's fine. You know. Oh, what'd you think about the worship? It's fine. You know, it's fine. It's okay. You know, what do you want to do with your life? I don't know. I don't know. You know, that's my one word responses that he got. So, but still he's making an influence on my life, an impact. And about 10 years later, when we were in ministry, we went and visited them, and I had the chance to talk to him, and I told him, you made a big impact on my life. And his response is interesting. He said, really? You got to be kidding me. Like, to him, it's like, there's no response here. This kid is not doing anything. You know, it seems like he doesn't care about anything. You know, maybe he even thought his ministry in the church was a failure, you know, because he wanted certain things to happen, but it didn't happen. And yet here's this person who profoundly influenced my life, and he didn't even know about it. That's the power of example. So when I see many generations here at Sunny Ridge, many different ages of people, and I know there's going to be people that go out from here, and they're going to say, one of you here said, they'll say, that person made an impact in my life, and they profoundly touched my life, and you may not even know it. So keep on being that example. And this is even true for young people, like younger people. There's always like this example experience going from peer to peer, or even from Timothy. Paul was talking about Timothy to be an example to even older people. Look, 1 Timothy 4:12 says this, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. You know, when we think about when a child dedication ceremony, like where somebody has a newborn baby, well, we bring them up. Pastor Rob brings them up, right, with the parents, and we all agree. We all say, yes, we will be an example to that child, and we will train them up in the Lord, and we will do our part. And then when they get saved, after that example, right, they get saved, and then they go to a baptism, right, where they go from death to life, right, where they are a new creation through the power of God, through the power of the resurrection, through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And then they become an example. But it's like we are all doing that. We're always being an example to other people. So Timothy, like, where did he get example? What is his heritage? 2 Timothy 1:5 says this, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I'm sure now dwells in you. So you see, it's going from the grandmother to the mother to the child, and then Timothy eventually becomes the example too. Right, so this faith is meant to be passed on from generation to generation. And it's a responsibility for parents, especially, to teach their children. Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 4, says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So you see, this full immersion of the things of the Lord are being taught, are being all around you all the time. And that actually plants a seed into the child. Proverbs 22:6 says, Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So that's the longevity of that seed, whatever is planted, that example that we have of spiritual people, people that love God, is planted in somebody, and that has longevity. And it may take a while for that person. Once you leave your home, you kind of have to get your own footing. You know, you have to decide, like, how am I going to live my life? My parents lived my life like this, but how do I live my life? That's where that seed starts to grow, and it really becomes their own. So faith is passed from generation to generation, from the grandmother to the mother, and then to Timothy. And then you also have Paul adding that influence into Timothy's life. Timothy became the example. Look at this generational verse in Psalm 78. I don't know where I got 20-something. 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. So we're not hiding them. I encourage you to tell your testimony. Tell what God has done in your life. It can't just be hidden. All these things are meant to be talked about, and especially to children as they're raising up in the Lord. And faith is something, you know, that is passed on, and it's something that's not passive. Like, there's a step of faith. A lot of times you have to take a step forward. There's an activity involved in faith. Like, if you show me faith, show me deeds. You take a step of faith. Like, Paul told the man to stand up, the crippled man. He could have said, I can't stand up. But instead, he took that step of faith. So as the people of God, a lot of times, and leaders, or even with peers or whatever, or even praying for other people, older people or whatever, we do business with God. We need to press in prayer is what I'm meaning, to do business with God in the secret place, where we wage a good warfare to see the kids saved, to see the reality of God happening in somebody's life. We need to do warfare. We need to violently oppose the demonic forces that are in people's lives. Because if the kids go out, the enemy wants to devour that person. So we need to violently oppose those things. And the kingdom of God and the word of God will always prevail in their life. We have the power, but we need to wage the warfare. Let me tell you a little about my mom. She grew up in a home . They had the Bible, but they didn't open it. You know? She went to a prestigious university. She studied humanities, and she devoured book after book after book. It was like every 2 days or something, book after book after book, learning these people and their brilliant philosophies, and all these great thinkers, these geniuses, devouring these books. And she learned all that stuff. And on a school break, she had this thought in her mind. You've read all these things. Why don't you read the Bible? So she decided to do that. She's like, I'm going to figure out that this is wrong, that this is a bunch of nonsense. I'm going to prove that I'm smarter than these people that wrote it. And I'm going to prove it all wrong. So she started Genesis, started reading. And as she read, she found out that she was wrong. She was the one that was wrong. And it touched her heart. And she repented. She said, I'm sorry, God, for being proud. And she read about Jesus. And she's like, Jesus did all that for me? How can I not give him my life? There is no other God. These other philosophers are nonsense. This is the truth. I found it, and I want it. So then she started to have kids. My brother and me and my sister. And she knew what it's like to be profoundly lost in the world, completely deceived, think you're so high and mighty. And she knew what it's like to be profoundly saved, to be destined to heaven versus destined to hell and destruction and not even see it. And she was so desperate for her kids to be saved. She's like, I can't bear the thought of them not being saved. I can't bear it. So she went to the secret place and she started to cry out. She started to wage that warfare before God. And she continued to pray and pray and pray until she felt that assurance from the Lord. Yes, they will be saved. She fought in the secret place. And you see the fruit of that in our lives. Can you see this in the Bible? Yes. Matthew 11:12 says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Charles Spurgeon has some thoughts on this verse. They're very convicting, but inspirational also, so I'm going to share them with you. Listen to this. Frequently, complaints are made and surprise expressed by individuals who have never found a blessing rest upon anything they have attempted to do in the service of God. I've been a Sunday school teacher for years, says one. I've never seen any of my girls or boys converted. No, and the reason most likely is you have never been violent about it. You have never been compelled by the divine spirit to make up your mind that converted they should be and no stone should be left unturned until they were. You have never been brought by the spirit to such a passion that you have said, I cannot live unless God bless me. I cannot exist unless I see some of these children saved. Then falling on your knees in agony of prayer and putting forth afterwards your trust with the same intensity toward heaven, you would have never been disappointed, for the violent take it by force. And the persistent widow is also a parable that Jesus taught believers, showing you to pray and not give up. And he also said, this is what faith looks like, and will I find it when I come back? Let's read that, Luke 8. He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. She's wearing him out, right? And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Powerful words right there, right? This parable's not about the judge, right? God gives speedily. It's about faith. It's about what faith looks like. She kept on coming. She didn't stop. She kept on, we need to pray and not lose heart. We need to remember that there's a battle going on. Everything that God wants you to come into is being opposed. So we need to keep on pushing, using the weapons, the sword of the Spirit. That's why it's the armor of God. You know, it's not just, we're not just in the peace of God where everything comes your way really easily. It's not like America, right? This is a war. Like, there's a spiritual war happening all around us right now. Everything you're coming into, everything God wants can be given to you, but you have to persist. The enemy is defeated. But the persistent widow shows how he's defeated. So I just wanted to give an invitation for you to open up the altars here. And if I could have Starlene, the team come up and pray the speak the name of Jesus. And if I could have Pastor Rob come up and anybody else who would like to for the prayer team. And we could do this different ways. Like there could be, you could come up here and pray by yourself. You don't have to receive prayer. You could just be, I just want to take a step of faith forward and just be in the presence of God. That's fine. You could come up and you could receive prayer. We'd love to pray with you. And remember, there's no shame here. There's no shame. I have about 10 plus needs that I could come up and get prayer for right now. Probably ongoing needs, different things. There's no shame. This is family. We're all in the same boat. We all have needs. So let's, you could even come up now if you want to, if you feel God stirring you. Maybe if you have someone who's spiritually lost, maybe you've someone who's kind of like been raised the child of God, but they kind of went off. Today is that day for them to come home. We want to pray. We want to partner with you in that prayer for that child to return home to the to God. Return like the prodigal son to the Father's house. If you have an ongoing health need or maybe a new need that you just discovered, we want to invite you forward to receive prayer for that. If you have depression, stuff that just comes on you, maybe that's happened to me a lot. Like during my week, it's like something just comes on me. It feels like a cloud that's like this dark cloud. We want to pray for that thing to leave you. And we have power to tell that thing to leave. If you have confusion, maybe you don't know direction. Like I don't know where to go. I don't know what God is needing next. We would love to pray with you for that. If you have something as simple as a headache, I want this headache to leave. Jesus handles that too. Maybe you want to get right with God. Maybe you've been wavering between two different opinions for a long time. Maybe you've thought, okay, I'll follow God on Sunday, but I'll do my own thing. God doesn't deal with other idols. It's him or nothing. Today's the day of salvation. Follow the Lord today. Stop wavering between two opinions. Follow him now. If you feel like that's you, please come up. And if you're remaining in your seats, I just want to encourage you to be engaged in what's happening here because you're very much part of this process too. It could be your prayer for one of these people that brings breakthrough. It could be your prayer. It may not just be the prayer of Pastor Rob. It could be yours that brings breakthrough. So God is here. Let's just spend some time in his presence here. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.